Our institutions have become corrupt. Unconstitutional agencies are infringing on your rights. What will it take for you to open your eyes to the tyranny at hand? You're an American born with unalienable rights, yet those rights are being trampled every day by unelected busybodies. Your liberty was secured by strong men and women of yesterday. Are you willing to let it slip away? You're listening to the Dangerous Info Podcast with Jesse James.
Jesse James. Jesse James. Come on, Jesse.
I'm ready right now. Time is a wasted, wasted, wasted.
This is an orange. If you were told it was something else, you wouldn't believe it, would you? This is called visual identification based on experience. This building is about to be destroyed in what is called a controlled demolition. Buildings do not do this spontaneously. Here is another example of a controlled demolition. The initial charges are spaced about 1 second apart. And you can see that each section begins falling separately. Successful demolitions require that all structural support columns collapse at virtually the same time. If they don't, or if something else goes wrong, the result will look something like this. This is World Trade Center 7 just before it collapsed on September the 11th, 2001. It had not been hit by an aircraft. It had been damaged by falling debris and fire. But by 5:20 p.m., most of the fires had been extinguished. Although the building was 47 stories high, it doesn't fall sideways, nor collapse unevenly. For this to have happened, all of the building's vertical supports must have given way at almost exactly the same time. Yet the Federal Emergency Management Agency reported that the collapse was due primarily to fire. But what does it look like to you? As at July 2007, there is no final report on the collapse of World Trade Center 7. But the National Institute of Standards and Technology still rules out a controlled demolition. So the question is, do you believe what you can see with your own eyes, or do you believe what you are told?
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Coming to you from FEMA Region 5, somewhere outside of Detroit, Michigan, where early voting has begun for 2024. Vote harder next time. It's the Dangerous Info Podcast with your hosts, Jesse James and Outcast.
You guys, welcome to the show. It is Monday night. That's right, you guys. It is April 29th, 2024, and the year is just flying along. Man, oh man. Welcome to the spiritual and cultural battle of our lives tonight. And you guys, remember this. If you allow the government to break the law for an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law every single time. Yep. It's not a rumor. They're doing it. Tonight, we have a big show, episode number 150, with our good friend, Chris Ann Hall. Republic, if you can keep it. Well, I don't think we're able to keep it. Outcast, we were warned, brother. We were warned about this republic. You got to refresh the tree of liberty every 19 years, and guess what? We failed majorly in our duty, brother.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I, maybe this sounds like I'm making excuses for us, but they so cleverly lulled everyone to sleep. I mean, just look at this. What was it? The Detroit Lions draft pick, and 700,000 people came out for that.
Listen, yeah, keep going. Keep going.
I was at the airport on Thursday. Yes, Thursday. And I was getting a drink of water or something, a bottle of water. And this gal was like, she mentions it this at the checkout counter, like, this is a great day, isn't it? I'm like, why, what's going on? She's like, it's draft pick. And I'm like, I don't care. I was like, oh, okay. And then I didn't find out later how big it was. And I'm just thinking, I mean, people were just drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, why is this any different than any other draft pick? Why is suddenly
do you mean draft that pick the thing? Are you saying there was no football game or no game? No, it was just all bread and circus, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
so what are they watching? What are they doing? What are all these people down there doing? If there's no game,
I was hoping you could help me understand.
Did somebody win?
You could help me understand this. I'm confused. I don't know what was going on.
Listen, I'm not confused. I know exactly what was going on. You had 750,000 people down there watching not a football game, not a basketball game, not a baseball, no competition, right? They're watching people get picked to go to professional football games by teams that
with scripted.
Listen, just like what he said before. I mean, we talked about this a million times, right? We even joked about it on our Patriot text thread, talking about how, you give them bread and circus and they'll never revolt. We have 750,000 people, you guys, over the last few days here in Detroit, all standing around looking at screens about certain players going to different teams being picked by. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why do that? Why do you care? What?
Pardon my sense of humor here, but like, I would have a hard time going to be in a crowd that big for anything. I don't care who the musician is. I don't think I'd put myself through it. The few times I go out, if there's a crowd, I am miserable. And I'm thinking, why? And why would you go there for that? And I'm just thinking, what kind of mass hypnosis / messaging went out to tell people that this is suddenly a new thing? I mean, it's like the Kardashians live or something. What drew people out?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't get it. Because to me, it's not a who can. I don't watch any of this crap anymore. I'm done with it. I've been done with it for years, you know. But it was very surprising because remember, just the last few years ago, all the kneeling and all this, you know, anti-American nonsense, all this wokeness, all in the NFL, and it's in the other sports too. People hated it. Did they just forget it? They forget about it now that it's back to bread and circus full on and, you know, what time's the game on, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. Look, we just sent 90-some billion dollars of your guys' money over to some countries, whatever. Whatever. Who cares? Game's on, right? Is that what this is all about? Are we just a bunch of idiots being fed bread and watch circus while our politicians just do whatever they want to do with our money? Shit, they don't even need our money, man. They don't need it because they just print up more money. Who cares?
You stated that so well. Oh my gosh. It's wow. That's, that's crazy, dude. It's a good point. While they're laundering our tax dollars away and food prices have doubled and gas prices are going through the roof and everything else is going wrong. And then yet people are more concerned about a draft pick. You know, we could be looking at a symptom of people having just terrible disconnect about what's going on. Not disconnect, they don't want to look. This world is so painful. It's so gaslighting that then they just want to bury themselves in their comforts. And maybe sports is a big comfort. And maybe people just need that to kind of bury their head in the sand a little bit because it hurts every time they poke their head out of the hole. Because it does. I mean, if you're awake, it is it's an irritant.
Yeah.
And if you're aware of what they're doing to us, it's an irritant. And if you're aware of what they're doing to our kids, it's an irritant. If you're aware of what they're doing to, how they're tearing apart churches and making things illegal that should, there was a an Instagram guy. And he was pointing out how he cannot say the word election under any circumstances. We're in a democracy that has elections to select our next leaders, and you're not allowed to say the word?
Not a democracy. Yep.
what I know it's a it's not
yeah.
democracy, right?
I understand what you're saying. Republic. Yeah.
But I'm just saying we have this system set up that uses elections, but you can't use the word election online or you get shut down.
Because they like the word selection, but you can't say that either.
Yeah.
We're having these elections, but they're, you know, behind the scenes, they're just selections. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on here. I just want to welcome everybody here, all the live guests, all the live viewers, you guys, over on Twitch. I see you guys out there. Rumble, pill.net. I see, what's this? I'm going to screw this up. Just Sanguinis. I know I'm butchering your name, but they said Chris Ann Hall is fantastic. Yes, she's a friend of ours. She's been on the show many times. Hold on. Woo, had a tickle in my throat there. She says, thank you. Can you please ask her this question? Would it be constitutional for a state to pass legislation defining that a natural born citizen is one born on the soil to parents who are U.S. citizens at the time of the birth? Yeah, we've gone over this stuff before in the past with her, with Chris Ann. So we'll get to that. But go ahead, Outcast. I got another cough here.
I'm just rambling. I'm looking at some of the comments over here. Yeah, and Ivan L. saying, you know, when you're aware, if you're awake and aware, everything that's happening is weird, strange, and odd. Kind of like we're watching a bad comedy. And I agree. It does feel like that. It's like a dystopian. It's like Hunger Games meets Idiocracy, because these leaders don't even care anymore. I mean, we might as well call him President Camacho for all I'm concerned from Idiocracy.
Well, you know, serving up that Brando. That's right. That's right. That's what we're in, you guys. It's them and it's us. So, you know, that's why it's almost like it's so disheartening. And I can't wait to ask Chris Ann a bunch of these questions. Now, you guys know that, you know, us and JC Hall, her husband, and Chris Ann, we've been friends for years, right? Remember, I hung out with them. When was that? When we were in the fall? I can't remember that. We were down in Georgia hanging out.
That's a good question. How long have you known? Were you listening to them online first and then you reached out to them and became friends? Is that how it
worked? Yeah. So I reached out, you know, I want to go way back, man. Back when, before
the podcast,
2013 or something like that is when I started really listening to them. And I started reaching out and sending emails and all this stuff. And I was using using Chris Ann's teachings to help my daughters in school and all that stuff was going on, to help answer questions and all these things. And I was refuting the homework that was coming home. I had ammunition because I learned from the best, you know, with all the constitutional stuff. And also, you know, I've been a student, you know, of their Liberty First Society for a long time. So I go in there and when we get to it, when she comes on, it's going to be great, you guys. You know, I got a ton of questions to talk to her about. She's going to be joining us by phone. She's not going to be live, or she won't be on the screen, but I do. She gave me a picture that we're going to put up on the screen. But it's like, you know, we've met, you know, in person many, you know, we hung out for a weekend. Remember that? And we were in Georgia, okay? So you remember that whole thing. So, yeah, I will ask these questions. And thank you. Victoria Lee, welcome. Welcome. And I see a bunch of you guys over on Rumble. Jack Pine's over there on Rumble. So is Roy We Go One, We Go All. Let's see. Fire Doug, he's over there. In the kitchen. You guys, there's a lot of regulars over there. Welcome, you guys, to Rumble and all that. Sandy Girl, Fire Doug, Steve Camber. What's going on, Steve? And we might even get into some of that stuff, too. So we got her for about a half hour. But, you know, first off here, Outcast, we have to throw this into the mix because she's going to be on from around 7:30 to 8, somewhere in there, and then we're going to have another hour to banter back and forth, me and you in the crowd, all right? So hopefully people stick around and we can get to all this stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about before she comes on, which is about 10 minutes, is this right here. Now, this is out of, listen, you guys, FDA. You know what I think about the FDA, right? Well, anyway, they just had a study. And this is their study, FDA study. It says COVID shots caused heart failure surge in children. Now, this was on April 26th, just a few days ago, right? It said COVID mRNA shots are responsible for surges in heart failure and seizures among children, a new study commissioned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has revealed. Well, if you believe them, I mean, why not? After all, they're so, you know, they're so helpful, right? Anyway, why would they go against their own stuff? I don't know. I don't understand why they would do this stuff, because, you know, the FDA, been lying to us for all this time, but all of a sudden they throw together a study like this and then telling us that, hey, remember all the shots we told you guys to take a couple years ago? Well, they're killing, you know, they're causing heart failure in children now. Why would they do that? What are they doing to you guys? What?
Anything I say, I have no clue. And I apologize to our listeners if it sounds, you know, not thought out. I'm just thinking out loud here. I mean, are they going to say, well, okay, so that was a mistake, but, you know, bird flu, we've known about this a long time and we've had this vaccine for a long time.
Yes.
Right. So this is different. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that what they're, maybe they're trying to just change the narrative up a little bit?
Well, here's some more of it. It says, according to the study, large numbers of children have suffered serious health issues after being injected with the COVID mRNA shots. The researchers found that heart failure in the form of myocarditis or pericarditis was found in vaccinated children under 5 years old. Here's a quote from the study. It says statistical signals were detected for myocarditis or pericarditis after the vaccination in children aged 12 to 17 and seizure after vaccination of the children in age 2 to 4 or 5 years old. Huh. I mean, it's crazy. It's almost like, remember when we were hollering about this? You know, please, you guys, don't get the shot. Telling family members, don't get the shot. It causes all these things with your heart and all this inflammation, all these, you know, I remember we started when we learned the word myocarditis. Remember that? Right. Yep. Away. And people were saying, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Here's the FDA study telling you now, a couple years later. Hey, brother, I'm just glad that we stuck to our guns and we knew what we were talking about. Again. Now they want to pull this dystopian nonsense, telling us, oh yeah, by the way, those shots we told you, they were causing damage.
It never ceases to amaze me when I'm out living my normal everyday life. On some days, how many people are aware and how many people are unaware? It's not like there's people kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like either you know or you don't. And like, you'll tell people and they're like, oh really, what? They don't know anything. And that's striking to me that they've created this two world reality. You know, there's those of us who
duality
utilized duality. And yes. And there's those of us who've used social media to, dive down all kinds of crazy rabbit holes and learn a ton and make educated decisions and grow personally. And there's a whole group of people that are, you know, will go and immerse themselves in 700,000 people to watch a draft pick. Mm-hmm. I don't. There's two realities happening here. It feels like the world is being torn in half. I don't know.
Well, I think it's happening on purpose. I think that's what they want. They got the chaos they want. They got the madness that they want. They love it. And again, like you said, Outcast, they're trying to push it again with this other bird flu stuff. Now, if you could just, all you have to do is go back in time and look up the Time magazine covers. Go back to the 70s if you want, and all the gaslighting and all the fear mongering they were doing. All those years, they're still doing it. That's all they're doing. This H1N1, they're trying to make it a thing. They've been trying to make this thing a thing for so long.
That's a good point.
You know, yes, they're trying to, it's, you know, that movie, she was trying to make that word fetch a word. She was trying to make it a thing. That one girl, that one young girl, she's like, would you stop it with the word fetch? It's never going to be a thing. Well, same thing with this right here, you guys. They're trying to scare you. Look, it is a selection year. So wow, what are they going to do? Yeah, gaslighting. They love the gaslighting for forever.
And then don't forget, years ago they did swine flu. They tried swine flu on us. They've done. Yeah, you're right. They've called it avian flu for a while. It gave it a new name, a new title: bird flu to avian flu.
I have those in a somewhere in here on the computer. I have just all those Time magazine covers. I have those. The meme. I have they're all listed there, and you know where they're all trying to push it. But you know, at all those times, people weren't buying it. All of a sudden, maybe because media didn't come together and do it and push it all. But anyway, from this, you know, going into that, or coming off the heels of that. So, you know, hey, you conspiracy theorists out there, you're right again. We're right again. All right. Just and confirmed.
I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I don't understand what people don't like they would go, why would you believe that and not the news? Well, the people, the voices in the wilderness who have nothing to gain, get my attention more than the voices that are lockstep with culture and everything to gain.
Yeah.
If if the crowd is stampeding towards a 700,000 grouping in downtown Detroit for a draft pick, I'm going to run the opposite direction. If everybody's running to what the media is saying, I'm going to run the opposite direction. And anybody that's shouting from the hilltop and has everything to lose, I'm going to listen to that lone voice.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why some other people can't catch the logic of that. They are such. I'm not trying to pick on them, but it's such a conformist mentality to just run with the herd.
Yeah, it is.
And we all know that the herd has a tendency to run off cliffs once in a while.
Well, yeah. And not me. I'm not doing that. My whole life, man, it's been like, no, you guys are doing that. I'm not doing it. I'm going to sit right here. You guys do it. You know, stuff like that. So I'm just glad I have that within me or whatever. I don't know. It's gut feeling or whatever it is, but nope. You guys go
that's
do
God's
that.
Hand in your life, brother.
Yeah,
that's God's hand in your life. That's what that is.
Monster Mike wants the moose flu. Yes. All right.
He's as a Canadian, as a former Canadian, I'm sure he would.
Well, it wouldn't come down here because there's a border, right? And you know, borders are secure, so obviously it wouldn't. It'll never make it in here. So, listen, you guys, we have. I'm going to read this outcast this quick spot here, and then we're going to get you to do the prayer. Before we go to break and we get our friend Chris Ann on. All right. So for those of you guys out there like me. All right. And a lot of you, you're out there practicing self-reliance, right? The self-reliance game. You got to do that stuff, especially now in these crazy times, because we don't know where these oligarchs want to take us or how they're going to do it. But listen, we can't forget about our livestock pets and our, you know, our pet friends in the house. Even do you guys like supplements in your diet and your treat? Or treats in your diet? Yep. Well, your animals do too. And I'll tell you what, I've got one right here. Look at this. You see this? That's Grubterra, you guys. That's the goodies for my chickens right there. Okay.
Yummy.
Yes. So I'm going to give you some like cereal. All right. Pour it in a bowl and just eat it. These are dried black soldier fly larvae because they're perfect feed added to your flock. All right. Use code Jesse10. That's JESSE10. All caps. At grubterra.com, you guys, grubterra.com. So do that. Your pets are going to thank you for it. And, you know, give some to your friends too. Tell them to put a little bit of milk in there. All right, Outcast. Before we get over to, we got about 3 minutes. So, before I got to give her a call. So yes, if you want to give us a prayer, since we're going to have some time after she's done with us, I want to talk about some things that happened on your recent trip to the big city of Dallas over the last week. So I want to hear some things. I have questions for you. Plus, we have a lot of other stuff. I want to get into this book right here. You guys, this is Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. There's so much good stuff in here. I've had this book for a long time. There's a few things I want to read for you guys. All right. So we're going to dig deep on some of this stuff. So, all right, Outcast, I want to bring this music down. And if you will bless this show in prayer, please do that right now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to magnify your name. We want to just praise your name from the rooftops, Lord, and from the mountaintops. God, you are always there for us. I know personally, Lord, I am weak. We are all weak without you, and with you we are strong. We can accomplish all things through you, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your mercies that are made new every day. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for meeting us right where we're at. We thank you for meeting us on the road where we were trying to escape you. Lord, we know that you present us with learning and wisdom and discernment and revelations every day if we have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive. So Lord, open us up, soften our hard hearts, help us to understand what you want us to learn tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll come into this conversation and that you will be with Jesse and Chris Ann and myself. I pray that you'll bless this time together and that you will be magnified somehow in this conversation and that people will come closer to you and come to know you more intimately by just even the subtlest words that come out of our mouths. Lord, we ask that you that you enter this conversation and you unleash the power of the Holy Spirit, giving us wisdom and discernment and words to say that we normally might not even say. We pray that we invite you in and we ask for your influence in everything that we do and say. Lord, we trust you. We know that you are a God of love. You are a God of strength. You are a God of courage. You're a God of that breaks chains of addiction, breaks chains of family curses, breaks the chains of evil assignments set against us. You break the chains of our own bad behavior. You break the chains of our hurt and our pain and our trauma. You break the chains of our grudges and our anger and our hatred. You are mighty, mighty to save, Lord, and you save us every day from ourselves. And we ask that, we acknowledge, Lord, that we are yours. We belong to you. We were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we want you to have your way in us each and every single day. And we know that that's when the best things happen, Lord. Help us to trust you when things seem dark. Help us to praise you when things aren't going the way we think they should go. Help us to praise you in all situations, when things are good and when they're not good. Because oftentimes, Lord, when they're good, we forget about you and we think we did it on our own. And when things are really bad, we turn to you, or sometimes we question you. But regardless, Lord, whatever the circumstances, let us always praise your name. I think it was Paul said, as Paul's in prison with poor health, he's saying, I praise you when I've had plenty, and I've praised you and I have nothing. And that's give us that heart of gratitude and that heart of praise at all times, Lord. Lord, thank you for good people that we meet everywhere. Pray that you'll help us to shine your light into the world. Help us to find the other believers out there who are, and even non-believers who are seeking and hungry and lost and lonely in this broken, shattered world. Help us to draw them ever closer to you with our love, our radical agape love that you give us. May we convey that to other people. The forgiveness that you give us, may we have that forgiveness towards other people. That courage that you show us, may we have that courage when we're talking to other people, Lord. Lord, we ask that you move everywhere at every aspect of our lives, Lord. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who Jesus came to this earth and he taught, he preached, he taught, he cast out demons, he healed people, he died on the cross, and he was resurrected for us, Lord. And we thank you for his conquering of the grave, because that victory right there. He said right on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. He broke every contract. He finished the work that he was sent here to do. His sacrifice was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, Lord. And we thank you for sending him into this world to save us, because otherwise this had to be a dark and lonely place without you, Lord. But now we have hope in you. Lord, bless this episode. Protect us from any glitches, technical or otherwise, any evil assignments set against us. May you break them. Anybody who wishes ill against us, forgive them, Lord, and help them to help to change their heart, Lord, and heal those out there who are sick, injured, wounded, afflicted with cancer or anything else that people are struggling with, people who are in broken relationships or other things that are causing harm, or people who need jobs, whatever the situation may be, Lord, move powerfully in their lives. Let them know that you're in control and help be their provision, and may you be glorified in all these requests. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. All right, you guys, we'll be right back after that powerful prayer with Chris Anhaw on the other side. You guys, this is the Dangerous Info Podcast. See you in just a couple of minutes.
He said it is what it is. Well, it is what it is because he is who he is. That's why it is what it is.
Did you ever fry an egg on a cold stove? It's no trick at all if you have the right equipment. This is a cold hot plate. And because it's cold, you can make it out of wood, if you like. Just be sure that there's a coil of wire inside and that you connect that coil to a high voltage alternating current source. The rest is easy. As long as we're being different, we'll use motor oil instead of Crisco.
The egg fries very quickly.
but the stove remains perfectly cold. In fact, if you wish to keep it handy, you can fry your egg on the morning newspaper. With a gadget like this, you can get up in the morning, sit on the stove, read the morning newspaper, and fry the eggs in your lap.
All right, you guys, tonight we welcome back our good friend Chris Ann Hall to discuss these puppet politicians that send your hard-earned money wherever they want, because they're not beholden to us. They're beholden to somebody who controls them. Tonight you're going to learn what recourse you have to push back against these tyrants, whether local to your state or at the federal level. Remember, Benjamin Franklin said it best, you have a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over personality. I want you guys to watch her movie, Noncompliant 2, The Sheriff. You guys, welcome to the show tonight. Our friend Chris Ann Hall from chrisannhall.com. Chris Ann, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Good to hear your voice. Yep, sound great. And
yay!
Oh my gosh. And Outcast, he's here with us too.
Hi, Chris Ann. How are you?
I am wonderfully blessed, and I'm just so happy to be here. Honored to be with you guys tonight.
Well, awesome. good to hear, and I've got your picture and your website up on the screen right now. And you know what? I was just, you know, there's you must have fans out there, Outcast or Chris Ann, because they're here. I can see them all over these live screens, and they're having a good time. So, I want to start off by letting you know, a couple weeks ago, I was so upset. I was mad, Chris Ann. I was mad on the show. All right, because I woke up one morning and I saw that $95 billion was just sent somewhere else away from this country. You know, Ukraine, and, you know, who cares where it's going? It's not going to us. I was just, and not like I wanted to go to us. You know how my frustration with all this. It's crazy. Just like I said there before, it's like they are not beholden to us. They're controlled by someone else. What are we going to do? I mean, I don't know how you and JC can stand it. You guys have been teaching this stuff forever, and you just see it happening over and over and over and over again. They don't care about us. They take our money and put it wherever. Would you please help me?
Well, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because JC and I are two very different. Well, we're very similar, but we deal with things very, very differently. So I actually... JC deals with his with humor and cynicism, and I deal with it by a perspective of historical hope, right?
Yeah.
Because I understand human nature. If there's one thing, I'm sort of like this closet anthropologist. It's something that's always fascinated me: cultures and human natures and people's behaviors and that sort of thing. And I think maybe that's why in my maturity, I really, really gravitate towards history. And remember, Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, "On the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." So I understand, and don't get me wrong, Jesse Outcast, I get as frustrated as everybody else, and JC gets to hear my outburst, right?
Yep.
Because I actually understand the source of all our problems. Mm-hmm. And it actually was spoken by Samuel Adams in that quote that I have. So my greatest frustration is the fact that people constantly, and you guys know all about scripture and that sort of thing. And so you also understand that mankind is created to worship a king. And here we have a constitutional republic, the greatest form of government focused upon liberty that mankind has been able to experience in our history. And yet we still have people, this is my source of real frustration, clamoring for a king.
Mm, yes.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because God said to the Israelites, I'll be your protector. I'll be your provider. I'll be your everything. You just have to submit to me as your king. And the Israelites said, hey, God, that sounds like a really great idea, but all things considered, we want a man king like everybody else. Our founders gave us a constitutional republic. They didn't simply declare independence from Great Britain. They declared independence from kings forever. And here we are in 2024 with the general population saying, all things considered, we still want a king. We want a politician that we can elect, that's going to magically wave the scepter and make all bad things go away and all good things fall out of the sky. And that's just, as Thomas Jefferson says, you wish for what never was and never will be. And so my frustration is that human nature says we want to be lazy, we don't want accountability, and we want somebody else to do everything for us while we sit back, accept the free stuff, and do nothing, right? So what we have to do is realize that everything that people are complaining about are symptoms and not problems. The problem goes back to what Samuel Adams said. It's the fundamental ignorance of the people on how the proper role of government, how our constitutional republic is supposed to work, and I think maybe now experiencing what I've experienced, the most important thing is remembering that the power, all the power, rests in the hands of the people, because all the power in government is derived from the people.
And I like what you said there about the people who are asking, looking for a king. I think that we see that every weekend. All you really have to do is turn on the TV and see what's going on. You have people distracted by so many things, Chris Ann. It drives me nuts. You see it. I'm just looking, you know, looking down the road. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to live with this crap because I don't see... We can do local action, which is the best action. Obviously, I learned that from you. The best local action you can do, but still, it's like there's not enough people doing the turning out. There's not enough people there's way too many people thinking that federal government is the only government. I mean, it's wild. It is wild.
You say that, and I don't know if you mean that tongue in cheek or if you're just joking about that, but that's really unfortunate reality of our public school system that have taught people these things, right? Because here's the problem. JC and I travel. I've been traveling and teaching for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just before I had been sort of peppered throughout my teaching, but really started focusing during COVID on teaching state constitutions. Right. You guys cannot, I guess maybe, Jesse, based on what you said, you'll believe me, but how many times, every single time I have taught state constitutions, I have had people come up to me, normal thinking, kind, brilliant people come up to me after I've taught the state constitution and whisper in my ear and say, you know, Christiana, I want to thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for coming and teaching us about our state constitution. I'm ashamed to say I didn't know we had one.
Wow.
And so that happens in every single place, every single time I teach the state constitution. And so we are, as Samuel Adams said, operating under a cultural, JC, I don't know if he's listening, but I was told I'm not allowed to use the word term cultural anymore. That's racist, but a general operation of, you know, universal ignorance in America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to really understand. We've got to be able to really humble ourselves. And Ronald Reagan said, the one thing you know about my liberal friends is that they know a lot. They just know a lot about things that are not true. Only that's not reserved to liberals, right? That's just simply a bipartisan problem that comes from our government school system. So we as Christians, we as people who classify themselves as conservatives, even those who consider themselves constitutionalists, must humble ourselves and realize that we have been taught the wrong things our whole life. And there are a number of things we think are so that just aren't so. And there are an even more amount of things about government and the Constitution that we've never been taught and we don't know. Mm-hmm. So we have to be in the position, if we're going to fix this, we've got to be in a position that we're willing to learn.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. Are you ready for the good news?
I'm ready.
All right. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That's because human nature never changes. We're always doing the same thing, making the same mistakes over and over again. So there are certain, as Thomas Jefferson classified them in the Declaration of Independence, certain self-evident truths, things that are true because they've proven themselves to be true forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that we can know that Thomas Jefferson got totally right is that people will suffer evil as long as evil is sufferable. But when they get sick and tired of it, they'll stand up and push back. It's always someone else's fight until you get punched in the eye. And we're very, very close to that crescendo.
Yeah.
To that cultural, what, there's that word again. I'm sorry. You know what? I am a linguist and I am a lawyer and I am a trained, you know, I know the word of art of words, and I'm really irritated that I get to have my words stolen from me. So you know what? Piss off. I'm just going to go ahead and say what I want to say. I
love it. Yes.
You know, culturally, this is where we are. We have got to be a people that's tired of getting punched in the eye.
Well, we always talked about that, you know, because we're tired. I know you guys are tired of it. It's just, I think this, it must be, you know, a situation where it's going to take a lot more people, a massive population to do that. Now, I really like what you're talking about, the states' rights. And, you know, I've learned all about that from you, too. Now, let's apply that to the Title IX gender identity insanity. But guess what? The states are now actually doing states' rights things in the face of this federal government, which is great, Chrisanne. I love it.
Yeah.
I love what these states are doing. Why, can you tell us more about that and this Title IX nonsense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And let me encourage you a little bit, Jesse, because here's the thing. I think the one of the things that holds us back in actually doing and getting involved is this idea that you articulated. Oops, sorry, another racist word. that you articulated that people think it takes this massive amount of people. And then all of a sudden, nobody wants to do anything because they look around and there's not a massive amount of people. And then all of a sudden you have this hurdle that you can't get over. But the reality is, and this isn't just Chrisanne Hallism, this is actually studies done. It only takes 3% of a population engaging in peaceful noncompliance to make a lasting change. And the studies tell us over history that 3% of a population engaging in peaceful noncompliance has never failed to make a lasting change. Now, armed revolutions have failed
mm-hmm.
with larger numbers than 3%, but 3% engaging in peaceful noncompliance have never failed to make a lasting change. So don't look around and think, oh my gosh, I'm a minority or whatever. 3% is the minority of minority numbers, right? So all you need to do is connect with 3% of your neighborhood, have 3% of your neighborhoods connect, have 3% of your county connect, have 3% of your state connect, and 3% of the state connect. And then we can make a lasting change. And you're right, because here we now have, this is one of my frustrations, because you know, for 14 years, I've been teaching states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
I've been teaching the power and the duty of peaceful noncompliance. And the irony of ironies is the very people, and I mean the very people, who have looked me in my face and told me I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, that I am a neo-Confederate, that I am anti-government, because I am telling you that the states have the authority and the duty to stand up and say, you know, you're not complying with this federal government stuff, are the exact same people who now have pulled up their at least pretended to pull up their big boy pants and jump on the bandwagon. You know, of course, there's no apology to Chris Ann, but I don't, you know, I don't need that. I'm just happy to see it happening. It is just slightly frustrating to have these people finally tell me, you know, finally do what I told them to do, only when they were telling me I was nuts. So the Title IX thing, let's just be very clear, Jesse, the president has no authority to do that.
Right.
Title IX is a federal law. The president can't amend federal law. And the Supreme Court has just issued an opinion in the last year that said federal agencies can't rewrite federal regulations beyond the scope of what Congress has laid. So the states have every right and mentioned have a duty to tell the federal government to take a flying leap. But here's the catch. They're going to have to stop taking the federal money.
Yeah. Now, see, I think that's a problem, though, because you have so many of these states, these governors, full of all these programs, full of all this bloat. They depend on, you know, the federal government paychecks. You know, so
yeah, that's an illusion, actually.
Is it?
Okay. They could have all those. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is an illusion. And we actually proved that back when Obama was in office. Remember, Michelle handed out her
Michael.
Her menu for the schools, right? Yeah, Michael, Michelle handed out the menus for the schools. And they said, if you want to keep the lunch money, you've got to serve this food. Well, the kids hated it.
Yeah.
Nobody was eating it. And how arrogant is it of it for the federal government to say that schools, which are parents, are incompetent and incapable of feeding their children healthy meals? You know, oh my gosh, the federal government's not involved. Let's give our kids donuts and Skittles and milkshakes for lunch. Because that's not what we're going to do, right? So what we did was we talked several school districts into not taking the federal money. Don't take it. Well, they found out that when they took the federal money, they were always $30,000, even plus, in the hole, trying to keep up with all the regulations, all the red tape, all the extra people they had to hire to manage the money and run the money and inspections and blah, 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 blah. And you can't only buy it from this, your supplies from this stuff, and the kids aren't eating it, so they're not buying it, blah, blah, blah. And then they found out when they got rid of the menu, got rid of the money, they were actually 10 to 20 ahead. They could fund their own school lunch program. They could actually have free lunches funded within the district by the kids who could afford to pay the lunches and wanted to eat the food, because they were serving nutritious food that the kids liked and the kids bought it. It didn't end up in the garbage can. And with the surplus they saved from not having the red tape and the extra employees and all the extra payments they had to pay out, they actually funded their own. So on a state level, I believe, and I totally believe this, would happen on the state level in the same way. Get rid of the federal funding. I believe federal funding costs you exponentially on the dollar for every dollar that you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the federal funding, run the programs on your own, and you will have the same programs without the red tape, without all the extra money, without all the kickbacks to the federal government and all the kickbacks to the federally supported corporations, mind you. You can run your own hospitals with reasonable healthcare prices. You won't be a slave to Big Pharma because the feds are in bed with Big Pharma, and the states can operate independently. And that's the illusion. These states have the ability. And some of the bigger states like Texas and Alaska and even the ones with, you know, amazing natural resources that the federal government's refusing to let them manage, right? So you tell the federal government to take a flying leap. We're not letting your Forestry Service in here. We're not letting your EPA in here. We're not letting your USDA. We're not letting your FDA. We're not letting your Department of Education. We're not letting any Health and Human Services. We're not letting any of your unconstitutional regulatory agencies into our state. Keep your federal funding. We don't want it. And they'll find out that they'll actually have a prosperity they've never thought of. And then here's the one thing that I'm hoping for, right? States finally find out that they are not dependent on the federal government. And they say, okay, we're independent. We can do all this all by ourselves. We don't need your money. And by the way, we are going to stop sending you all the money you're asking for. We are not going to let you steal money from our people in our state. We're actually going to protect their money from your unconstitutional spending. And you either spend the money you collect on the people here in the United States, or we're not going to let you have it.
I would love it. That's a dream come true of mine. And Outkast, I mean, you, same thing for you, brother.
It's doable.
Yeah, we're hooked in it. Just like Ivanelle said right here, she's, I just put on the screen, the whole idea behind the Department of Education was to use the federal dollars as a hook to keep local school districts under control. Yeah, that's part of it. You know, that's, you know, so as far as this Title 10 goes, you guys, let me read this. The Republican-led states from Oklahoma to Florida are refusing to comply with President Joe Biden's changes to Title IX rules governing women's education, forming a unified resistance almost certain to prompt an historic legal showdown. I love it because that is giving, you know, example for the other states. Now, as far as Michigan up here, we have Stretch and Gretchen. I don't think she's going to, you know, do any of this kind of stuff, but there is an example by some governors, and they're doing it.
And here's the thing. You said of setting up a legal battle. I'm all for the AGs doing this legal battle, but you know what? At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, because the Supreme Court is not the oligarchical rulers of America, right? Mm-hmm. So if they somehow say that King Biden can do this, and it's somehow they politically devise a way to make that constitutional, then guess what? The states still have to say, you know what, Supreme Court, you're wrong. And we are still not going to let this be enforced, period. And then they're going to have to hold to their guns and say, look, I don't care if you take the money. We'll run the schools on our own. And by the way, there are over 6,000 colleges and universities across America, public, private, religious colleges.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we could probably do with a third of them. So the ones that cannot survive without federal funding, you know what? Maybe we don't need them so much.
Yeah, let them live on their own merits. If they can't handle it, then we don't need them. I don't want them. Because a lot, same thing with like
free market education. Can you imagine?
Love it. I love it. Now, you're talking about education now. You do you guys have a homeschool program that you've started? Is there something new that I don't know a whole lot about yet?
Something that you don't know a whole lot about. So as you can see on the picture, we have libertyfirstsociety.com, which is our current online constitution, civics, government training. We even have a couple of Bible classes, and there's some other things in there. But we've decided to, you know, everywhere we go, we teach all over the country. One of the things that we get a lot of questions about, because they know Colton, our son who just turned 18, we homeschooled him.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the questions that we get have a lot to do with what curriculum do we trust. If there was one question that I could say we got more than anything is how do we, you know, what, I don't know what curriculum to use. I don't know what we can trust.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, and I'll just say this, and I'm going to make somebody mad and somebody's going to come on and disagree, and I'll say whatever. You can disagree all you want. There isn't a single history curriculum out there that teaches accurate history. The closest you're going to get is through Ron Paul. I'm just going to say Ron Paul's curriculum is the closest you're going to get. But we just, we tried all curriculums. I went through the Christian curriculums with a big black Sharpie marker and their history books. And you can talk to me about the big names of these conservative history classes and they're garbage. I'm just sorry. They're the same things they're teaching in the public schools. They just put God in there somewhere and talk about Christians, or they just try to make it, you know, a little less woke. But the reality is, wokeness is not the only problem with our curriculum. It's just simply inaccurate revisionist history that's been taught since 1850. So that's the deal. And that's why we were like, look, here's what we're going to do. We have a website, connecthomeschool.org, connecthomeschool.org, and we are starting our own homeschool hub. Now, the thing that's going to make this homeschool program different is we do have a 30,000 long goal vision of establishing lessons in all curriculum. Okay. But here's what I want to do. This is my vision. I want to bring schooling back to its roots, where we teach reading, we teach math, we teach history, and we teach science. Everything else comes from those four things. As a matter of fact, if you want to get real fundamental, you really only need to teach reading and math and history, because with reading and math, you can learn complex math, you can learn to read and apply science. And with history, well, somebody says, well, if you're reading, you read history. But the problem with history is you really have to understand how to connect the dots. How do you take the lessons from history, learn from them, so you don't repeat the mistakes? So that's the value of teaching history beyond just simply the reading aspect. Homeschool, at connecthomeschool.org, our program's called Homeschool Connect. We are going to start with one subject from scratch, and it's going to be history, government, all of those things that I teach, K through 12. Then the other subjects, we're going to recommend curriculums you can trust. People always ask me, what math? What science? Okay, fine. At connecthomeschool.org, you're going to get that recommendation. We're also going to have what we call, I'm having a whole lot of fun with, is story time with Dr. Hall, where we're going to be reading the classics and some newer books as well to teach our kindergartners and our younger students character building. And I was inspired to do this because I found at home, because we bought all those Golden Book classics for Colton when he was little, and I ran across the book, The Little Red Hen. And I thought, we don't teach these. The kids aren't reading these anymore. And there's so many good principles that we learn from these books. So story time with Dr. Hall is I'm going to be reading these books. We have it all in digital book format. So as I'm reading it, it's like an audio book. There's a video playing for your kid to watch. I'm sorry, your child to watch and learn to read by reading along with me with little pictures and stuff like that. And so it's going to be, I'm just really excited about it. And well, if you go to connecthomeschool.org right now and sign up, watch the video that we have. We're going to have podcasts. We're going to help you navigate the legal challenges in your state with homeschooling through Liberty First Legal. And we're going to have places where you can connect with other homeschool parents, share tips, share lesson plans, share projects, and even connect and make your own co-ops or connect with other co-ops. So it's going to be like a shopping mall for homeschoolers, right?
That's
awesome.
And
homeschool parents. But if you go now, watch the video that we created, Dispelling the Homeschool Myth, and sign up, and you will be on our mailing list, and you'll be the first to know when we release everything before August.
Let me talk too much, Jesse.
Sorry, I feel like I just keep talking.
That's all right. Hey, listen, when we were together hanging out, when was that? That was in the fall, right? Me, you, my family, you, Chris Ann,
yeah,
or you and JC.
A little chilly. I don't remember. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was such a good time. And we had a lot to talk about. And then there's a lot of common likes, all right? Outcast, we like antiques. I can't tell you how much we like antiques. It's crazy. okay, so that's good.
Is Outcast still there? I haven't heard him say anything at all.
He's taking it all in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I made a decision. You have so much information to convey, I wanted to just step back. And in addition to that, I was traveling, I was down in Texas, and I am whooped. I just got back yesterday and I'm still recovering from traveling. So I'm pretty tired and quiet, but I'm also listening. Sorry.
Oh, well, I can relate. So I'll give you grace.
I do. Yeah. I do have connecthomeschool.org up on the screen. It's been there since you've been talking about it. There's a couple things I want to squeeze in before you got to go. I know it's, you know, your time is up. I'm just want you to, if you can squeeze in.
You're good. I'm fine.
That whole,
I'm just going to do laundry.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. So the, what really ticked me off was Mike Johnson and that whole Fourth Amendment thing. Are we, Chrisanne, did they get rid of the Fourth Amendment?
Well, of course not, because they can't, because the Fourth Amendment is not the source of our rights,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Our rights are inalienable and they are endowed upon us by our Creator, and our right to be secure and our property is fundamental to the maintenance of life and liberty. So they don't get rid of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah. So what's,
even if they did, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Because we still have the right to protect our stuff.
It's just the you know, the legislation that they write and pat each other on the backs about, and, you know, wave foreign countries' flags, and it's all very frustrating, as you know. I keep saying that over and over again. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I've shared this word with you before, but this is one of my favorite words, and I've never really found a better word to describe the Speaker of the House. And it's the word pusillanimous. I don't care what kind of Christian he dresses himself in. I don't care what flag he wraps himself in. It may be the U.S. flag today, Ukrainian flag tomorrow, who cares? But the reality is, he is pusillanimous, and pusillanimous is where you get the term pussycat. It's another term. It's a shifting of the term fraidy cat. You ever heard of a scaredy cat, fraidy cat?
Yeah.
Well, a pussycat is the word pusillanimous means that you are afraid to the point of complete and utter cowardice, right?
Yeah.
So Mike Johnson is completely pusillanimous, and that's why he did what he did. He told us that he thought that it was bad that to extend excuse me. He told us it was bad to extend this, that it was outrageous, that our rights were being abused like this. They pulled him into a national security briefing. They showed him all kinds of boogeymen. And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, I need to trade your liberty because I'm scared of the boogeyman. So having pusillanimous means having or showing a lack of courage, a contemptible lack of courage, cowardly, craven, and dastardly.
That explains him. Yes.
Coward.
Yep. That explains him. That's as far as what I can tell. Yeah, exactly. He's straight up coward. It makes me, you know, it brings up another question then. Who is he beholden to? Obviously, he's scared of something. Somebody's got something on him. Is he getting kickbacks? Is he getting bribed? Is he getting threats? I mean, it's got to be something, because it seems like this happens to everybody who goes in to those chambers.
Well, let me explain to you how this works. And it really is the boogeyman. I don't know if he's if he is indebted to anyone. I don't know if they have anything on him. But I've seen this happen. It happened to Michelle Bachmann. It's happened to everybody who goes into the House. Well, not everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you still have some that aren't giving up our rights. But the majority of the ones that came out of the Tea Party movement that made these, I'm constitutional and I'm blah, 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 and the founding fathers this and the founding fathers that. Well, the first thing they do is they stick them in the Committee for National Security. And then they get all these terrible, I'm sure we cannot even imagine the videos they show them about all the bad guys and all the bad things the bad guys are going to do and all the dangerous ways the bad guys can get to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this happen with Michelle Bachmann, with other people. And all of a sudden, they're so afraid of the boogeyman that they'll do anything to keep people safe. Anything. Not even realizing that it's all a farce.
I would like to add some scripture to this conversation real quick.
Yes, please do.
Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So what's the first thing mentioned about getting cast into hell? Cowardice. Mm-hmm. So I just want to throw that in the mix.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. You know, Hamhock brought up a good one right here. Let's not even talk about what they put on people's computers. You know, they can remotely put all kinds of stuff on any of our computers and say, hey, this is a child, rapist or whatever it is. And they'll plant stuff. You know how deep the stuff goes, Chrisanne. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but you see, at the end of the day, and that's maybe where we have something that others don't have. At the end of the day, I don't fear what man can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there is a holder of truth and that I will stand before the judge of the universe one day. It doesn't matter what they've put on my computer and what they falsely accuse me of. I mean, on a very smaller scale, I've already been accused of terrible, heinous things by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter what they accuse me of. At the end of the day, I don't stand before their tribunals. At the end of the day, I stand before the tribunal. And that's who holds my conscience, and that's whom I stand with. So if I have to go down standing for what is right and what is true, all their accusations, all those weapons formed against me shall fail. Their lies will come to light, and they cannot defeat me.
I love it. Amen to that. You know,
awesome.
Okay, a couple more things. I've got a question from one of the listeners over here, from a viewer. With this whole Harvey Weinstein thing, how he got set free from that, what it was, a 20-year sentence. How does that happen? Because he was in there for 2 years. Was there an activist judge somewhere or in New York? What? How does that kind of thing happen?
We, just like sometimes with Christians, we have trouble super spiritualizing things. In politics, we have a problem with super politicizing things.
Mm-hmm.
What you have is not an activist judge.
Okay.
What you have is a judge in the trial court level that allowed something into evidence that should have never been allowed into evidence. I looked at what happened and I was like, wow, I can't even imagine it got this far. How did he ever go to prison based on this trial? This appeal was a no-brainer. You cannot use the accusations of past bad acts to prove present guilt. That is an absolute standard of rules of criminal procedure.
Okay.
And that's what they did. The judge allowed the prosecution to use accusations, not even convictions. I mean, convictions of past bad acts are very rarely allowed during the trial phase. But an accusation of a past bad act to prove present guilt is never allowed. It should have been declared a mistrial right there and then and there, and they should have had to start over. And the judge did not. The judge allowed it, and that's why he's free. Now, ask yourself: did the judge allow that because he knew that it was going to be overturned?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plenty of opportunity for conspiracy if you want to interject it in there, especially given, you know, everything that we know.
Right. Now you got me thinking, you know, was this done on purpose in order to get some sort of a reaction from the public?
No, I think, was it done? Right. Did he have his, here's where, what I think, if you're going to inject a conspiracy, this is what it is. They had to prosecute him to ease the public concerns and show the people that something was happening.
Ah, yes.
But they inserted in the trial process a bad seed so they would fulfill the promise to the people that he was prosecuted and then give him a get out of jail free card when the fervor and the attention span of the people have subsided and he can get out and everybody's focused on a new crisis.
Okay, that makes sense then, because there was so much heat at the time this was going on. You know, the whole Me Too movement that was going crazy at the time. Everybody was so stirred up. So yeah, that does make sense that, hey, let's just throw him in jail. Let's appease the people for right now. We'll take care of it later when everything cools down. You know, it's genius on their part. Because, you know, we have the attention.
I can imagine them saying to him, hey, man, 2 years. 2 years in prison, that's the max you'll do while we do this appeal. It'll be overturned and then you'll be out.
Yep.
Just do 2 years, appease the people, satisfy the public mob fervor, and 2 years, everything will be okay.
Oh, boy. Well, as the world keeps turning, what a crazy time we're in. Outcast, do you have anything for Chrisanne? I'm going to go here and look under this for a question that was asked earlier while you're asking Chrisanne something here.
No, I don't have anything major for Chrisanne. I just, I appreciate the fact that she brings some, you know, clarity and hope. She brings the law, which brings some understanding and takes away the fear of what these people are trying to do. What's interesting to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Chrisanne, but I get the sense it's like, They try to, like, it's kind of like when Biden says, I'm going to mandate the vaccine. It's not a law. But what they do is they kind of rattle the cage of the public with this vocabulary. And it's almost like they're testing the algorithms, as I like to say. Would you agree with that? I mean, why do they say that they're going to do away with the Fourth Amendment when they legally can't? Why do they come out with this information, in your opinion? Are they really just trying to affect the people in a negative way? Are they trying to wake up the people? What's your take on it?
Okay. Well, there's never like one thing. Okay. I know that movie, City Slickers, where what's his face?
Billy Crystal.
One thing. Billy Crystal. Right.
Yep.
And what's the old guy's name? I forget.
Lance.
Jack Palance.
Jack Palance. Yeah.
Jack Allen. Yeah. He's this.
Jack Palance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Palance, yeah. He says one thing. So it's never one thing, right? So there's always a multifaceted thing going on here. So you have to understand, and I say this a lot, so I really don't want to dilute its meaning, but it is in reality true. The majority of Americans have been taught the wrong things for so long about our rights, about our Constitution, about our Bill of Rights, that the majority of Americans don't really realize there's no such thing as constitutional rights, right? Mm-hmm. Constitutional rights means our rights are derived from the Constitution. They don't realize that the Constitution was not written to give us rights, but the Constitution was written to acknowledge that our rights are inherent, and that government is not supposed to infringe on those rights, right? So the Bill of Rights is there to remind the people what the rights are and to put the government on notice you're not allowed to touch these. So the majority of the people don't know any better, right? So you have a section of the population that's ignorant. They're repeating this because they actually believe that somehow the Patriot Act, somehow all of this can take your rights. They're just ignorant. Then you have the portion of the population that's not ignorant. They're just greedy, right? So So those are your clickbaiters, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the people all worked up because it's good for my social media account. It keeps the donors moving. It keeps the people watching. And I'm going to give this highly inflamed, yet although I know completely untrue, headline. And by the way, if I gave the correct headline, then I might teach people the truth and then they won't want to support me. They'll support something else and they won't be addicted to my clickbait and they won't be addicted to my podcast where I do nothing but sow fear, error, and apathy and defeat, right? Yeah. So you have those greedy people.
Yeah.
Then you have the malicious, right? You have the ignorant, you have the self-serving greedy, and you have the malicious, those who actually do this for evil intent. I need to keep repeating this so that I can be part of the group that can oppress. I want to keep people ignorant. I want to keep people enslaved. So ignorant, greedy, and malicious. Those are your three groups of people. And obviously they're blending, so you have any kind of combination of those three. But that's why these lies are told. The bottom line is somebody's like, okay, so if they're ignorant, you give them a pass. No, you don't give them a pass. You don't give anybody a pass. Because whether it's ignorant, greed, or evil intent, at the end of the day, the result is exactly the same. We started off talking about frustration. If you want to talk about frustration, I'll tell you what's frustrating is the fact that these big talking conservative heads with their big donor bankrolls and their big numbers who run around sowing fear and confusion and defeat because it makes people watch them and gives them clickbait and makes people want to donate to them to fix all the problems. That frustrates me when people like us are actually teaching the solutions, the right now solutions, the solutions that everybody can use, the solutions that don't further enslave us and the solutions that don't, you know, inherently make us rich off of people's fear. We're trying to help people. We're trying to give people solutions. So it's frustrating to me sometimes that, you know, we have programs like this and we have to struggle to get people to listen because it's hard to take accountability. It's easier just to send a donation and want somebody else to do that. But I get over that because I realize that truth is more powerful and truth has longevity and that the people will always seek truth in the end and will still be here giving it to them.
Awesome. I love that. Yes, exactly. Okay. And, you know, I'm just on your website here. You guys go to chrisannhall.com. Sovereign Duty, your book. I love that book.
Yeah.
That's such a great book.
Thank you.
Guys have to go out there and get that. I've had that for such a long time. I think Outkast has it. You have a lot of different products on there. You guys go check that out. You're teaching your classes. Libertyfirstsociety.com. You guys go there too. So become a student.
Our book Sovereign Duty is being released in Spanish. I'm very excited about that.
I'm getting it for my daughter. Yep. I'm going to get it for her because she's.
You need to text JC and make him send you one.
I will. We text all day, every day. Me, him, and Outkast. It's fun.
You don't want to know a secret?
Yeah.
You want to know a secret, Jesse?
Yep.
My husband talks to you on text messages more than he talks to me.
Well, we talk about a lot of good guy stuff. I mean, come on. You can't. That's some good stuff.
You know what? That's all right. I'm glad he's got a good guy friend, but I just think that's funny. He texts you more than he texts me.
Oh, we have a good time, don't we, Outkast? Me and him. You know, it's good. So now we're planning on how to save the world. So that's the whole thing here.
A lot of wisdom being flung around.
Yeah. So, all right, Chrisanne.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys can save the world. That makes me feel better.
Hey, listen, you teach it. We'll teach it. You teach it. We'll be the muscle, right? Here's a question. Last thing I have for you, from pill.net. Now I'm having a hard time saying the name here. Just sanguinous. Okay. It says, can you please ask her this question? Would it be constitutional for a state to pass legislation defining that a natural born citizen is one born on the soil to parents who are U.S. citizens at the time of their birth.
No, because the authority to create the Uniform Rule of Naturalization was delegated to the federal government. And that has to happen at the federal level. However, we're discussing a time when it's possible in the future that some states decide that the union is irrevocably broken. And when that happens, then the power returns to the state.
Okay. It looks like she has, and that makes sense to me. She has a I don't know if it's a follow-up or whatever, but it says natural laws. It's a legal term. If states would pass legislation, then, oh, she's getting to it, then Kamala cannot be on the ballot. Okay, I see what she's getting at.
No, that's true. You know, that's actually how I got kicked off YouTube, by the way, was doing a video on natural-born citizens. Okay. On how the definition of a natural born citizen was set by our founders as between two parents, two citizen parents at the time of birth.
See, that's why I like having you on, because we're learning new things every time you're on, and it's been a long time. Last time you're on was episode 76. Tonight is 150. It's been a long time.
Oh my gosh. Well, there we go. We got every 75. How's that? Every 75th episode.
That's way too long.
Yes. Hey, look, I have an article at chrisannhall.com all about the natural born citizen.
Okay.
The video that I had, I don't think I have anymore, because when YouTube crashed my channel, they took all my content. We didn't have all of it backed up, unfortunately.
I'm on your website right now. What is it under the latest news and our articles?
No, if you go to my website, I'll do it with you really quick.
Okay.
So if you go to chrisannhall.com, all right. And then you click on, of course my internet is moving slowly. If you click on, search the little magnifying glass at the bottom.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yep, and then you go to born. Type in natural born citizen. It should come up that way, but
okay. I just there it is right there.
There it is.
Okay, so hey.
So there are several things. Who is a natural born citizen and why? Do you see that one? And then you also have the principles and purpose of the natural born citizen limitation.
Oh, there's a lot of good articles. Okay, so you guys go down there and do that. And there's a search function down at the bottom underneath those rectangles. Type in the natural born citizen. And there's I'm scrolling them on the screen right now, Chrisanne. And wow, you have a lot of that understanding citizenship.
Okay, I have over a decade of articles on here. You can put anything you want in that search engine that has to do with the Constitution or government, president, legislative branch, judicial branch, whatever. I guarantee you will find an article that will help you at least tackle the principles.
Awesome. That's good, you guys. I mean, this is basic stuff that you guys need to learn to be able to arm yourself against what you're being taught out there. I mean, they're teaching us garbage everywhere, you guys, in schools, right? This government education, it's indoctrination 100%. That's why I want you guys to go over there to connecthomeschool.org, sign up. I'm going to do that later on tonight after the show. And I'm going to start talking about it, you know, and we'll get together again and talk about this as we go. Outcast, any final words for Chrisanne?
Thanks for making time for us tonight and always adding clarity to a murky subject. I'm very intimidated by legality and the law, and you always have a way of making things a little bit more digestible. And I really appreciate your commitment to educating everybody within earshot. You're a gem, and there are a lot of people are in, the country potentially is indebted to you if people wake up and can save it with better knowledge of our Constitution and our laws. So thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. You know, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on X. So if you go on any or all of those platforms, just follow me and catch what we're talking on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Regarding all this stuff that's going on. So.
Yeah, you guys. So yeah. It's, you know, I follow you in all those spots and I always see you're out there busy doing your thing. And I appreciate you being out there doing everything you're doing. So, I mean, you're waking up a lot of people who don't even realize that this is going on. But there's such a big juxtaposition when you look at, you know, what they teach us in school versus what you teach right here on this. I mean, it's, you can see it off the bat right now. We're being taught garbage in these schools. So I'm glad you guys are out there doing it, enlightening the people and, just doing the work. So, Chrisanne, so glad that you're, out there. Thanks again for joining us tonight. We'll do it again. Stay in touch. And, next time we connect, which I'll be down near you soon. I'll tell you why later, but, we're going to do some antiquing. All right. I love going to antique shops.
Will you be close enough? You can step in the studio with us and we can do a podcast from my.
Oh, I'm going to have, yes, there's, well, I have to tell you, but you know, where Kissimmee, right? You're not far from there.
I know where
okay.
That is.
Well, I'll be going there.
Yeah, about an hour and a half, maybe.
Okay. I'll be going there a lot because, well, you know. My little one's graduating.
Well, you don't have to tell
yeah.
Me now.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So we'll be in touch. Cool. It's going to be a good time. So we're going to get with JC probably tomorrow. Outcast. We'll get on the phone with him and start messing with him and get him on the show too. So we appreciate it, Chrisanne. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, make sure you get him before 4. We're getting on a plane tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we will. Usually in the morning. All right. Sounds okay. Good. You guys go over there and visit.
All right.
ChrisanneHall.com. That's where you can find everything. God bless you and stay dangerous, Chrisanne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. Wow, cast. There she goes. How awesome was that?
Yeah, she brings the fire.
Man.
She knows so much. Like it's impressive.
Well, it's like a fire hose. I mean, you ask a question and like a lot of time when she used to come on early in when we were, you know, starting this before we were live and all that stuff, I would ask a question and I'd like this. I grab my pen and I grab a piece of paper and I try to write down answers. Right. I get about 3 words in. And I put the pen down. It's like, I'm just going to have to listen to this again because there's so much. There's always so much in there that it's like, wow. Oh, she was over here on Rumble too. Yes. Thank you, Chrisanne. Awesome. There she is, you guys. Give her on Rumble. Say hi to Chrisanne and JC. They're over there watching. Make sure that you give them some love. Oh, okay, Outcast. That was great, man. I'm glad she was able to come on. I've been messing with her on the texting back and forth for the last couple of weeks here. Just because I'm curious about some stuff now. Things have been happening, but again, I just get so frustrated with this nonsense that our so-called leaders. What they're doing, they don't represent me and you. That's what I'm saying.
No, I have something in my head bopping around, and I just want to see if I can articulate it. You know, we look at people like they're uninformed or they're apathetic, but here's kind of, you know, if you think about it, this is what's been happening to people. They have been gaslit to the point of they check out, and then they've been raised in families and in situations without God. Mm-hmm. And without God, nothing makes sense, in my humble opinion, right? So you've got a whole generation of people or a segment of the population that has decided to, not necessarily intentionally bury their head in the sand. They are practicing versions of, darn it, why is this word escaping me right now? It's escapism. So whether it be the draft pick, whether it be gaming, whether it be internet pornography, whatever it is a level of escapism, and they do it because they've been gaslit to the point where they can't they can't focus anymore, right? You know, ask anybody that's been in a relationship where they've been gaslit by the other person, and nothing will break your morale and your sense of sanity more than that. And this system that we're in is designed to gaslight. You see money being sent around the world willy-nilly without our permission that we worked hard for. We see laws supposedly being passed that aren't actually laws. You see, I mean, we could go on of the myriad of ways that people have been gaslit to the point of they just want to escape. So we can't really, I mean, I'm still going to criticize and snicker and laugh at the draft pick situation. But at the end of the day, we can't blame these people that they want to escape because they're living in a world of confusion that doesn't make a damn bit of sense. And in what else are you supposed to do? You know, I feel it to an extent, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news for some of us is that we're digging our heels in and jumping in the Bible and jumping into our faith. It's just probably the most productive and constructive thing you can do. And it's the one thing that'll turn their evil plans into something good. But other than that, the rest of the population that doesn't have that foundation or has been taught that the Bible and faith is some hooey garbage for dum-dums, they're going to run in every direction except for there. And we shouldn't be surprised when they sit at home and get stoned and, play video games. We cannot be surprised by this behavior. At what point they get tired of it, I don't know. At what point do they join in the fight? I don't know. Maybe they never will. But just throwing that out there, it's escapism, yeah. I think, is what we're looking at. Is that
fair? A good word. Yeah, that's a good word, escapism, for sure. And so is the other one that we learned tonight, pusillanimous.
Hamhock's right here, too.
What's that? What's he saying?
He's
about the gaslighting?
He's talking about... people working 2 to 3 jobs just to survive. That's another thing that makes them mm-hmm. so exhausted and so burned out that, you know, maybe they want to escape. They don't have time to research. Yeah, I agree, Hamhock. Those are great points.
Yeah, too. Good. Yep. We just had Birdhouse from Australia. She's watching on Rumble. She just said to you, Outcast, absolutely right, Outcast. As Chrisanne says, people will seek the truth and they work very hard to stop that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look. You know, it's we've been in this game here for 3 years now, I guess, and we see what kind of throttling we get, right? Whether it's our mail service, whether it's our chatting service, you know, whatever, we see these things, and you know, there's throttling going on everywhere, and it's very annoying. But you can at the same time you can see their game plan trying to shut people like us out and down.
I agree with music lover here too. Yeah. They always think that Christianity is the fake religion and waste so much time seeking. Oh, you just took it down. Thank you. Seeking quote unquote the truth everywhere but the Bible. Boy, that is a true statement too. Yeah. They won't look anywhere but at the Bible. Yep.
Right. So, okay, let's have a little fun, Outcast. Let's go over here. And after we do this, I'm going to ask you about your trip. In our last little bit here, before 9 o'clock. So let's go over there. We have some viewers to, some sponsors to thank. So let's go over here and thank them right now. So, look at that. There's something, a comment from last week. Let's take that out there. So, okay, you guys, listen up. To our supporters, thank you guys for supporting us on a monthly basis like you're doing right here. These people are the names that... You know, these are people that help support us monthly. And if you want to do that, you guys can also do that. Look at the description of the show down there. Subscribe, star, and all these other things that help us do what we're doing, all right? So Biffermack, Fire Doug, Ryan Mansfield Show, Carmen Rosario, Jill Bark, Chad Geyer, Manny Espejo, Michelle Yerkes, Hamhock, Dwayne and Teresa Lazowski, Heidi Human, Pastor Eric King and Belinda King, Steph Mee, Cheryl E., Bonnie Moriarty, Dave Baxter, Deb Santos, and Capo, you guys. Thank you guys so much. And, if it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't be doing this stuff. There's no way I can get all this equipment in here without going you know what I'm saying. Thank you guys, your supporters. What else do you have to say, Outcast? Any of our supporters tonight? Anything, any come off the top of your mind?
Well, yeah, something I would like to say real quick. Our awesome audience has been praying for Pastor Eric, and I believe that his health is definitely on the mend and he's doing better. And I don't think Pastor Eric will mind if I...
Uh-oh, he froze up. I don't know what happened there, but Outcast just froze up.
Saints, but
hold on, Outcast. You froze up. You're don't know what's going on with your connection over there, but you kind of froze up a bit there. Listen, he's going to call me right back. He'll get back on the line. But Steph, me, I'm going to put this up on the screen right now. It says, hey, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask everyone for prayers for our son, Owen. He's having surgery tomorrow. And Outcast, check this out. So I don't know what happened. So I was reading this while you came back. Stephanie's son, Owen, having a surgery tomorrow. So we got to do a little prayer. He's doing a 2 to 3 hour surgery for four cysts on his jaw. He's going to go in tomorrow around 9 a.m. So, yes, prayers going out to your son, Owen. So
Owen, okay. And I was going to add something to that, too, for our listeners. If any of you, you know, we've been praying for Pastor Eric, and I think he's doing a lot better. He's a pretty stoic guy. He doesn't tell us all of his health issues, but I believe he's on the mend. So thank you everybody for your prayers. I don't think Eric will mind me telling you guys this. Several years ago, he lost a sister to cancer, and he just found out his sister Jennifer has cancer, and his big brother Tim, who's a good friend of mine, also it has cancer. So if you could please be praying for Tim and Jennifer King and the King family at this time, pray. You know, Eric is a rock. His faith keeps him solid, but you know, pray for Eric to have strength and the right words to say to his siblings and for Belinda to be great support for Eric during this challenging time. I'm sure he does not want to see any of his other family members go through this. And so anyways, if you guys are prayer warriors out there like I am, add them to your prayer list, please, and pray for the family.
Awesome. Yeah. And you guys, you know, Pastor Eric King, he's been on our show here, three times, I think. And some good fire. We just did a reboot episode with him the other day. Our last one, wasn't it? 2 weeks ago or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And it worked. It was awesome. So you guys, I suggest you guys go back and listen to that. The excellent reboot episode. But Pastor Eric King.
That episode is called Battling the Demonics is what that episode's called.
Oh, it's crazy, you guys. Yeah, that was talking about our dreams and people having night terrors and paralysis, sleep paralysis, and being visited by demons and all this stuff in the room. I can't wait till we get to October again. I mean, I'm not rushing summer. You guys don't get me wrong. I'm not rushing summer, but that spooky fall, man, that's one of my favorites, right? By the way, Outcast, guess what I did? And I told you I was going to do it.
What's that?
I went through in my barn over there. We have a big storage area over there. I went through all the Halloween decorations. There must've been 12 binfuls, 12 of them binfuls. There's two left. Everything is gone. The only thing that we kept was that Garfield blow up that I showed you. Guys kept that big Garfield blow up and this little pot black, cauldron, the little plastic cauldron with the orange lights with the little thing. So it looks like a flame. So I'll put that here somewhere in the fall because it looks kind of cool. But I got rid of all the skeletons, the demons and all those things gone. It's gone. So I'm happy. I have a ton more room in that area now of a storage space. So I'm not rushing summer, you guys. you know what? I'm with you, music lover. I'm not good with the heat, you guys. I don't like the heat anymore. I mean, I love fishing. Look, I fish like crazy, right? But the heat today was pretty rough out there. Not as rough as it's going to be here in a few weeks or a few months, but, Okay. So Outcast, let's talk about your vacation. You guys, listen, he went to Dallas.
Well, it was not a vacation per se.
Well, yeah, I guess it was at a resort.
Yeah.
For us, it was because you were sending us all the good parts. So it was awesome.
I was at a work meeting in Dallas, outside of Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
In this gigantic, crazy resort. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I have it written over here somewhere, but
when you say
it's funny you mentioned. Yeah.
When you say big, I want you to explain that when you get to that point, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. One of the things I want to tell you about is you kept mentioning antiquing, and strangely enough, I had a free day, and me and two other guys that I'm friends with in the company, we actually went to an antique mall, which is
awesome.
Uncharacteristic, but we saw online that they said they had, you know, records and stuff like that there. So we went to this antique mall, and this place from the outside looks small. I was like, what kind of antique mall is this? This thing just went on and on and on. It was utterly massive. There was neat stuff in there too. You know, of course, a lot of Texas based stuff, but the funny thing is we're walking in the door and my buddy Joe is like, He's like, I got to tell myself right now, I'm not buying any guitars. I'm not buying any guitars. I don't need any guitars. I'm trying to get rid of guitars. I'm not buying guitars. We walk in the door and there's this huge sign that says flashing guitars. And it was this whole like guitar center on the upper level.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Pretty funny.
How many did he buy?
Crying, laughing. Yeah. And
that's funny.
Yeah, so anyways, we that was a great antique store, by the way. Yeah. So anyways, I had to go to Texas for a sales meeting thing. And I don't know what you want out of me on this.
Okay. Jesse, so exactly, what you talked about, what you told us before, and I wanted to hear more about it because you guys, there's a lot of new listeners here still hanging out with us. You guys have to understand that Outkast here, he is a prolific red pillar now. Okay. So wherever he goes, he ends up talking to people, and you ended up talking to your Uber driver, right? Or whatever driver you found. And tell us how you, okay. So you get in the car. I mean, what do you see? Who are you with? what makes you chat them up like this?
It's funny. Sometimes I have these deep conversations and I red pill people on the airplane for whatever reason. I didn't feel compelled to do that this time. I didn't talk to a soul. I sat on my both flights and didn't say a word. And I thought, what's up with me? Why am I not talking to these people? But I didn't feel it. But then when I least expected, I found other people to try to red pill. And one was, I get in this Uber and, I forget how it comes up. Well, one of the things that was happening was at this resort I was at, I kept seeing all these people with capes on and fairy wings. And I'm thinking, what is it? And they had lights on them. And I'm thinking, is this some kind of techno festival or something? I couldn't figure out what they were doing there. Mm-hmm. When I got in the Uber driver, she starts talking about, did you guys see that cult that was here? I'm like, no, what do you mean those kids with the capes and stuff?
Cult.
They were all like young people. And she's like, yeah. She goes, I saw them walking around in circles with their shoes off out in this field over here. And they were all trying to proselytize to anybody that would listen, but they're into this, self-healing stuff. And, I don't know. It was interesting, but they were everywhere. And they looked like a bunch of goofy teenagers to me. They did, or goofy college kids. None of them looked like they were part of any type of religious sect, but it was, that's how the conversation got started. And I could tell that she was not buying into it. And we made a couple comments and somewhere I slipped in, I said, and I do this self-effacingly, as I always say, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. And how I see this is, I said, these people usually are trying to worship the creation as opposed to the creator. And then she's like, the Uber driver's like, yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist too. And I don't tell anybody that. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then we start comparing notes and she knew a lot of stuff, but she was not aware of a lot of like our podcast or other podcasts like us, or she wasn't aware of Gary Wayne, Timothy Alberino, Dr. Laura Sanger. She didn't know that. She knows some of the Nephilim narrative, but she didn't know the deep dive on the authors and who's really, she needs to be listening to.
Yeah.
So, and on the way there, my first Uber driver, he says something like, yeah, he goes, I've lived in this part of Texas my whole life, but my dream is I want to get out to the Pacific Northwest and live out there. I'm like, oh, well, you're going to have to, keep your eye open for Bigfoot if you're out in the Pacific Northwest. And he goes, I'm totally into Bigfoot. I'm like, well, do you listen to Sasquatch Chronicles? He's like, never heard of it. So I was like,
that's awesome.
I was telling the two Uber drivers as who I was telling new information to, and then I found two people that I'm friendly with at the home office. By the way, my company that I work for, I love them. I love them like family. They're great, awesome people. And there was two gals. How it started was there's another gal at my home office who's a very reserved individual. She's very sweet, but she doesn't want to talk about weird stuff. It's not her thing. But she just dropped it on me one day because I brought up Bigfoot, that she saw Bigfoot when she was a kid. And I was like, no way. So I had to actually pull the information out of her because she's relatively reserved about what she'll give up. And I got some really good info out of her. So I had a t-shirt that said, Kentucky Department, and she saw her Bigfoot in Kentucky, and my home office is in Kentucky. And it says Kentucky Department of Sasquatch Research.
Yeah. That was a good, shirt.
We went to go play putt-putt and I showed up with that. I'm like, Angie, come here. I want to get my picture taken with you. And she didn't see the shirt yet. And she gets her picture taken. And I show her and she's like, oh, that's hilarious. So we laughed. And then these two gals in my home office, they're actually designers for my company. They saw my shirt and they started asking questions. And they both said, we are extremely open-minded and very curious about all things paranormal and or spiritual. And then we were off and running. And I sent them a bunch of links, including for our show. So maybe we got some new listeners. So Amanda and Laura, if you're out there, hi. Thanks for coming aboard. But I had a fairly productive red pill business meeting as usual, which I don't always plan, but sometimes when I least expect that it happens.
Yeah.
And then this resort I was in Texas, I can't explain it, but the scale of this place was so big. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. The beams in the ceiling were the biggest beams I've ever seen. The height of the ceiling was the highest ceilings I've ever seen. Everywhere I went was just giant on scale. Even I sent you a picture, Jesse. There were these lanterns, like look like, you know, on the, you might put a, how do you want to wear up like a porch lamp on the outside of your house, right? Like mm-hmm. a lantern like that. These things were taller than me. They were like giant sized.
Oh, the wall sconce things.
The wall sconces, yes.
Okay.
Everything was like on, and I was like, well, I guess everything's bigger in Texas. But then what did you say? Next thing you know, you did some research and found out about Rockwall, Texas, and the whole place was stone, looked like stone and rock wall. And it was just like, you can't help but wonder, did the builders, the big financiers behind such a gigantic resort, do they know something about, you know, because it almost looked like it was an homage to Rockwall, Texas, where there are these giant rock walls that there's a big debate. Are they natural formations or are they ancient structures, you know? And that's just added to the list of giant stone structures all over the world, including up in Canada, all over the place. There's these rock walls and Texas has them too. And I think Texas is where they have the giant footprints in the mud in
they
the
do.
National park also.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of them. And when you say giant Bigfoots, we're not talking about, or giant footprints, we're not talking about Bigfoot men. All right, we're talking about, do some of these have six toes?
It looks like some of them could, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, it looks like, you know, there's a lot of high strangeness in large Texas, right? So someday I want to go there and I'd love to find that rock wall because that's what
let me say this.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Let me say this about Texas too. I was really shocked and surprised in my mind. I thought I'm going out to the desert where there's going to be tumbleweeds, right? And it was green and lush and it looked like just like Michigan. It didn't look any different.
Awesome.
At all. That was really weird. I didn't know Texas was that green.
Well, we have D Doodle over here on pill.net says, I'm in Texas. People are desperate to talk in public. The eyes of the guys at Brookshire Brothers the other day when I said I was voting for Trump was something. Oh, so she got a look from these people. They're desperate to talk. Desperate to talk in public. I'm not scared to talk in public. I love talking. I'm chatting people up, man. You know, they might be wearing something, a hat or shirt. They might be doing something or driving a certain vehicle. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go chat that person up to see what they're all about. And I do that a lot, man. It's fun for me to do that. I don't know. I just
take my advice. All you have to do is say it with self-effacing, with a smirk, you know, a little smile and a wink in your eye and just go, yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. And then you see who responds.
Yeah.
And you'll see people shut down or you'll see somebody light up.
Yeah. You know, they'll perk right up. Let's talk. Yeah. Well,
so then you can find out who's who. And I mean, honestly, most people that say that they're into conspiracy theories, they're not as deep as probably we are. I didn't realize we're such an anomaly about some of the crazy stuff we talk about, but
me neither, because this is, it just rolls off the tongue as normal for us. I mean, I'm just used to it, I guess. You get around family and friends for, you know, holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all, and you start talking like we're talking right now and you look over there and there's people with their, you know, jaws on the floor. It's crazy. Talking about antiquing, we have Nanny Deb over here on Rumble. She says antiquing is one of my favorite things to do. Well, Nanny Deb is local to me. So you know what? Yes, I'm going to have to trade spots, okay? Because there's places that I know. There's probably a few spots that you know. But I enjoy antiquing, you guys. For some reason, it keeps telling me, a gut feeling, go buy the old things, the old American-made things, the old things that work without energy, without electricity. Again, that's why there's that Coleman lantern right there behind my head right there. You guys see that? Well, I also bought an old transistor radio. I mean, my antique stuff is in the other shop over there. Okay. I keep stuff. Listen, when the power goes out, I'm ready. Yeah, go ahead.
When I was down there in that antique mall, I found, we came across this, how do you want to word it? Like these binders, a dozen of them that were loaded to the gills with antique postcards. And these things were, I've never seen such a beautiful collection of postcards, and they weren't expensive. They were like $5 to $10 a piece, mm-hmm. you know, dated 1910. They had all kinds of patriotic ones, you know, with Lincoln and Washington and different battles on them. I mean, these things were, they were works of art. You could have done, for a very small amount of money, you could have bought a bunch of them and created a whole collage on your wall, or, you know, put them in frames. And you, there's, it was endless what you could have done with these postcards. They had so many. I bought one. It's a cat that looks like my cat that we had to put down just recently. And he was, had a tam on and a Scottish sash. And it was Tom the Piper's Son is what it said. It was from 1910. And I had to have it, the little Scottish cat. I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, also back to this here, D-Doodle over on pill.net, also, you know, in Texas there, says, all our family and friends blow us off so bad when we start talking about the Giants or the mud floods or Tesla, or they get the fluoride stare. Yeah, I tell you what, the fluoride stare, it's comes hard back when I start talking to some people. But that's kind of why I stopped trying to red pill people, because I'll just do it on the show. If they want to watch this show and listen to our guests and, you know, enjoy this this party that we're having here right now tonight. I mean, look at, there's a lot of people having their own little conversations, having a great time. And, yep, you know, that's what this is all about. You guys, we're chilling around this big campfire is what I'm saying. We're having a great time. And we're, you know, hopefully reaching out to some people that are actually open-minded enough to take the stuff in and actually do their own digging and researching. Because I think that's where it's at. You know, we can't trust the information coming off the TVs. Right. We can't trust information coming out of the schools or coming out of politicians' mouths. You can't trust any of that crap.
You know, I'm going to try to articulate something too. When I was down there and I was, you know, and just for the record, you know, I'm open-minded. I'm considering everything. I find it fun to consider things. I love to look into it. I understand the arguments for and against certain things. You mm-hmm. know, but the way that some people react is really interesting. It's like that they're terrified of being jarred out of their thinking. So I can't remember what the circumstance was, but at one point we were talking Bigfoot and somebody piped up and they wanted to shut that down. They're like, oh, it's just bears that people are seeing. And I'm like, okay, well, and I kind of took a front to it because I'm thinking, well, that's the dumbest argument I've ever heard, because bears have big heads and little shoulders. And everybody that sees a Sasquatch says it was a lot bigger than a bear and it has broad shoulders and a little head. I'm like, you're really that. I mean, just to shut the conversation down like that, either screams, it can't be that ignorant. Nobody's that ignorant. You've got to be like scared. I think that some people are just afraid of the thought of a bigger world than we're aware of.
Yeah.
Right. It's only I can figure, because the way this person just got so agitated and wanted to run to some bear narrative. It's like, this is just,
that's all he knows. And that's what he's comfortable with.
Who's she?
Oh, okay. Hamhock says, you guys, what you guys talk about is not the norm. Well, for the circles I run in, it is, you know, so to me, it's fine. Music Lover talking about the folks on Conspiracy Pills Discord make us sound super normal. Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah. They get deep every time, you know, but I like going deep stuff too. Oh, you brought up Sasquatch Chronicles earlier. I sent Wes a message. And I'm hoping to hear from, because I want to get him back on, because he's got some other things going on. You know, he's been doing that his podcast for like 12 years now. And it's, you know, all about that. You know, he dips into other things too, but his, there's a lot more that he is into too. And he would be right in here with our type of conversation. So I'm trying to.
Now, the interesting thing about Wes Germer is that he is, I don't believe that he's a Christian per se, or he's respectful of Christians. He's not, but his best friend is Tony Merkel, who is a Christian, right?
Well, yeah, but see, there's a change, and he talked about this, Wes did. He talked about this, and he is leaning more and more that way now because of everything he's talked about and uncovered and looked at and listened to so many people. So, you know, he's headed that way. So, it's great. I like Wes, and, you know, same with Tony Merkel. He's so hard to get a hold of, though. Man, I got a hold of him one time, Tony, and we went back and forth a little bit, but it's hard to get back, you know, with him again. But I'm still trying, because those would be some great guys to get later this summer. I'd like to do that.
I think Tony Merkel is a family man with a full-time job, and his spare time is probably pretty valuable to him.
His full-time job now is doing the podcast and all that stuff. So I'm working on getting these guys here. So that's going to be good. So
are you going to announce who else you landed?
Yes, I'm going to announce this right now, you guys. So next week, let me see. We have Good Patriot. She's coming back. Katie. She's in Texas. And you yeah, you guys probably know who Katie is. Good patriot on YouTube and Instagram and everywhere else. She's a good patriot. Okay. She's been on with us three, four times. But she's coming back next week, and she has gone from being the full on, you know, patriot, guns, America, all this stuff, freedom and all that stuff. She still is. That's still in her mind, but she has taken a yield. I want not a yield. She added to what she's doing, and she's all about the homesteading and the you know, the Christian, even harder. What am I trying to say? Okay. As you've seen it. I'm trying to make,
she's focused on her salvation and her relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And everything else is peripheral. And, but of course being self-sufficient is a big deal for her too. But, she's turned her heart. I mean, she was always a Christian, always. And she always had that faith base and a strong, but she's even shifted more of her focus to that.
Yes.
I get that. That's kind of where my heart's been too.
Yep. And so she's going to bring us up to speed on what she's doing. You know, she's got all the chickens and all that stuff too. And she's growing stuff. She's growing food and all that. So, it's growing her faith. That's it. That's what I was trying to say. She's growing her faith and her,
she's growing food and her faith.
That's right. Yep. So we have her, we have, Marjorie Wildcraft coming back on again as she comes on every month. But our big one, you guys, we've been working on this for such a long time, and I went back and forth with him finally on the 20th. Okay, May 20th. L.A. Marzulli. L.A. Marzulli, you guys, we got him. So I've been going back and forth with him, talking and figuring things out. So he's one of the big ones, Outcast. He's one of the big ones in this space that we talk about.
He's legendarily elusive too. He's hard to pin down.
Yes.
He's very busy.
Yeah. I ended up talking to his wife first, and we went back and forth on that. But, and then he ended up getting in contact with me. So yeah, L.A. Marzulli, if you guys don't know who he is, just L.A. and then Marzulli as it's spelled, just go look it up. This guy is deep. Oh my gosh. He's deep.
I guess we should say we're like him, or more so than he's like us, but he is like deep into this biblical Nephilim narrative and how it applies to the world and what's going on right now. He's just like us, but he's far more researched than you and I. And he lays it out.
Yeah.
And he's also all over the UFO narrative too, the ETs and what that's about too. He's deep into all this stuff. And he just seems like a great guy. He really does.
He has, his latest thing is, you know, he's all about the interdimensional quote alien type of thing. So going on. So I can't wait to he is a trailblazer. He's a trailblazer with what he does. He was one of the first ones that I know of in the space talking about this kind of stuff. So
Music Lover says he's a trailblazer and we're all just catching up. That's a true statement. Yes.
We're trying to keep up. Yeah, for sure. Also there was, I was talking to somebody else, Outcast. I'm trying to think here again. I believe we have at the end of the month, don't we have Sister Verita coming back? Have you been in chat with her?
She wants to. The problem is we have a very big schedule issue with her because Monday nights are not good for her.
That's right.
I don't know how we're gonna orchestrate this, but she wants to come back on. She's got a lot to say. Like I said, I consider her a friend, and she's a powerful mentor because her message online never changes. People try to drag her in the mud every day, and she just stands strong as a woman of God. She doesn't let people race bait her. She doesn't let people drag her into political discussions that she thinks are unfruitful. She's a firecracker, man. She's cool. And what's cool, I like too, is she's exactly our age too, Jesse, but she has a different background. She grew up in Compton, California and knew Ian, all those guys growing up, and she was a gangbanger.
Yeah.
Totally different person than us, but it's funny how God puts unlikely friends together and says, hey, I'm going to unite you now under the body of Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And it's like, I never thought I'd be friends with an LA gangbanger.
Well, that's awesome, man. So, you know, we're just kind of talking about our upcoming guests, you guys. And I think, you know, her coming back is going to be another good one. I'm working on something, Outcast. I'm not sure if I even told you about it, but I like true crime and these things, unsolved mystery type of things. Do you like that?
So I don't seek it out and I don't try to consume a lot of it, but okay. whenever I come across it, I do find it fascinating. Yes.
Okay. So
in fact, if you ever want to get into it, I have a crazy personal story about this guy I used to know years ago. It turned out his dad was a serial killer here in Michigan. And I knew his son. It's far out. Okay. That's a far out story.
All right. Well, I have a personal connection with remember the Oakland County child killer thing?
Yeah,
I have how's that work? I've got a personal connection to that. We'll get into it on a different show. But I have one of our past guests, one of my good friends. She's a coach of certain sorts. We've been sort of Nanny Deb. It's her daughter is who it is. You know what I'm talking about, Outcast.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I've been talking with her because she's also into this stuff. So into true crime and unsolved crime and these things are so fascinating because there's so much about these that get your head going in all directions. So we're trying to put something together like that, a true unsolved true crime sort of mystery.
So what would her focus be on? I mean, like could I tell her about this situation that I knew about and if she would have details on that, or is she going to be coming on with a specific story?
Well, what we're trying to do is do multiple from time to time. That's what I kind of want to do is do multiple ones. So there's a chance that she knows what you're talking about.
She probably does.
Yeah.
She probably knows this one.
Yep.
Do you want me to say it? Who the murderer is?
I don't care. Yeah. Go ahead and talk about it.
Ask Nanny Deb if she knows anything about Arthur Reams from, I think he was from either Roseville or East Point, Michigan.
Okay.
Arthur Reams. He's a monster. And I knew his son. His son has passed away a long time ago. And
wow.
It's crazy. I remember hearing a grumble about it when I was like, 20 years old, 19 years old, and then forgot about it. And then one day, 15, 20 years later, I was flipping the channels and I saw a whole Dateline episode about it and my jaw was on the ground. And then now I can't find that Dateline or anything. I think it's a pending case and it's been scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about, you guys. This true crime stuff, I like to add that into the mix because it does go into that spooky, mysterious type of thing. And it's good to dig deep into some of these things, especially if you have if you know somebody who is good at digging. So I want to do that. I'm just reading over some of these notes. Steve Camber, you guys, our friend from axmitaxmichigan.org, right? Michigan, that's they're trying to get rid of the taxes here in Michigan. There's 8 more weeks to sign up. We need you guys to go to AX. Hang on, I think I've got the brochure right behind me. Outcast, say something.
Steve Camber, once again, I think he was struggling with some health issues too. He felt he was under spiritual attack. So if anybody wants to add yet another name to their prayer list, please do. Steve
Camber. I think he's doing better now, but, good. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So here it is right now. AXEMITAX.org. That's it right there. So we need, we need volunteers. We need signatures. All right. I believe before the end of July is the deadline, something like that, Steve. It's up to you if you want to call in for a couple minutes, but, it shows late. We gotta get going here in a second, Outcast, but, we need you guys to help spread the word and actually get people moving on this and get signatures done because we have a chance of axing some taxes here off of Michigan. This bill supports, supports accountability, transparency. Let me see right here. Organization. It's a citizens initiative, a ballot proposal for the 24 election. It will eliminate state tax and local government ability to tax and seize real property in Michigan, providing relief and protection for Michigan homeowners, farmers, local businesses, and so many more, just like you and me. Again, you guys, AXEMITAX.org. We need help with that. So I'm trying to remember if that was the last thing. I thought there was something else about that building in Texas that you wanted to talk about, how big it was inside and all how immense.
There's no words to express. I mean, the ceilings were unnecessarily tall. I mean, everything was just mad. I don't even understand. I can't wrap my head around – how it was paid for. I mean, even though, I mean, how do you know that you're going to get the return on investment, that the people are going to come? There's a conference center attached to a gigantic resort. And it was just like, I just don't get it. It's just huge. Mm-hmm. Everything was just on a massive scale. Every ceiling, every wall, everything was just on a giant level. It was surreal. I don't know how to explain it, but I was just like in awe of this place.
Yeah, the pictures were awesome. I mean, those pictures that you sent, it looks like it was built for people that are 30 feet tall.
It does.
I mean, what's the reason for that? I don't know.
But, I don't know.
Are they looking back in their past?
When you send me that Rockwall, Texas stuff, I thought, wouldn't that be interesting if like the architects or the builders, they're all part of the cabal, let's say, because mm-hmm. that's where the big money comes from. And everything is a nod or an homage or a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seemed, I don't know. Like I said, these lanterns, like you would have on your porch of your house, were 6 feet tall.
Wow.
And 4 feet wide.
That's crazy.
I was just like, wow. Well, it is. Who made these?
Bigger and better in Texas, I guess. I do remember. I do remember now who I was going to tell you about, who I was talking to. So we are trying to put some information together. Well, I'm not. I mean, yet. But our guest, Robin McCutcheon, Dr. Robin, is, I have some things in mind. I think she has some things in mind. So we're going to try to get something in, let me see, that would be end of May or beginning of June, somewhere in there. And I got to get a hold of her and to see, you know, just that way we can get some stuff nailed down. But also, Outkast, July 1st is that petition. So you guys got to get that done before July 1st at axmytaxmichigan.org. Sounds like we're going to need more than one show, maybe a bonus subscriber show. You know what? I like that. That's really good. So that's in the back of my mind. Music lover, thank you. But check this out, Outkast. You know who I was talking to the other day? And
who's that?
Matt from Cultivate Elevate on Instagram.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, you are. I send you his stuff all the time and you send me his stuff. You know, he's the one talking about looking at the eclipse and all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. I like that guy. Yeah,
that's Matt. Well, I was talking with him the other day, and he has got a lot of stuff going on. He's really busy with things. He's actually finishing up his book, another book here. So he said in August, he's hoping to be done with that book so he can get everything all set, squared away. And we're going to try to schedule something in August with Matt from Cultivate Elevate. And I've been watching him for a long time. I remember a long time ago when he was on and he got wiped out. His account got wiped out because they didn't really like what he was saying.
Must be over the target.
He had to start all over again. So it's crazy, you guys. But listen, Outkast, why don't you, if you're ready, I would like for you to give us a final word, you know, on your end, a message for the people before we get out of here tonight.
Okay, so I'm going to read from Psalm 19:7. It speaks for itself, but where I felt like there was a correlation to our conversation today was, you know, earlier I had said after Chris Ann was on that when, you know, people are devoid of God, their life doesn't make sense. They don't understand why they feel like escaping and going into escapism behavior. But if we look closely and analyze, in my humble opinion, their lack of connection to the Creator is what allows them to be gaslit by the messaging of this world, right? So this just gets back to basics in Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. So, man, that, I don't know about anybody out there listening, but to that spoke to me immensely. I was privileged to receive a couple of awards for my work. And if I'm not careful, my pride could get in the way and say, I could say I did that, but I did not. Okay. I used to get, you know, a little bit of pride and pleasure out of receiving awards from work for work purposes. And I'd be like, you know, kind of for a minute, you kind of feel like, yeah, I did that. Well, I didn't do any of this, you guys. I'm telling you right now, I have a great team underneath me that allowed this to happen, first of all. But second of all, at the end of the day, all things come from God. I went back to my room. Those awards meant nothing to me as I laid on my face in prayer. And I literally have been doing that more lately. I get on my face in prayer. God is the source of all things good. And as long as I try to keep his precepts and his teachings in my heart, and I allow the Holy Spirit to do its transformational work in me, my life just gets more and more fruitful and more rewarding, but I care less and less because my eyes are on what is unseen as opposed to what is seen. Today, I'm asking each one of everybody out there listening, is that where your heart is at? Do you seek the approval of men? Do you seek the accolades of other people? Or do you seek the Lord's will in your life? I'm telling you, I have my sin, I have my my stumbling blocks, but the more I try to lean into God, the more I find myself having the strength and the ability to avoid those sins. If your life is being ruled by sin, I can pretty much promise you something: it will consume you. Everything in sin starts out feeling good, and it always ends up ensnaring you into something bad. Don't think that just because nobody sees it, that you're not going to be held accountable for it, or it's not going to catch you. We are in a battle, Jesse and I, and anybody out there who's a believer, and we're on a battlefield. And this battlefield is this plane of existence. We are surrounded by the enemy. We are assisted by the angelics and God himself. But we need you in this fight. Stop doing what you've been doing that separates you from God. We don't need wounded heroes around us. We don't want to pull you along in the battle or have to throw you over our shoulders to try to pull you across the line, because I'm not sure I can get you through the gate, even if I can get you there. I need you to be in the fight with us. I'm feeling strong right now. I'm saying these things boldly. I'm not saying that I won't stumble. Sometimes I do, but man, I just want you guys to take this seriously. Time is running short. Something's going on in this world, and a lot of people just sense that Jesus is coming soon. And even if he doesn't come soon, you could die tonight in your sleep. You could die tomorrow in a car accident. Any way you want to slice it, the time is near. Stop giving in to the temptations of the world and start fixating your eyes on Christ. And I promise you that he'll transform your heart, and you will not desire the things that you used to desire. And I can say this from experience. God bless all of you. Thank you for being in this fight with us, but please take it as seriously as you possibly can. Like I said, we're in a battle, and we want you alongside of us fighting. We don't need you stuck in a trench looking at porn where we have to pull you out, okay? We want you in the battle with us. So just throwing that out there. I hope that's not too preachy, just speaking from the heart. Love you guys.
Awesome, brother. Yeah, that's good. And Music Lover says amen to that. Okay, so
thanks,
excellent. Yes, listen, it's been fun hanging out with you guys tonight. It's been a good time. And to Chris Ann, make sure you guys get over there and check out connecthomeschool.org. That's the new homeschooling that they have set up. So get those kids out of these government indoctrination centers, you guys, and get them some real education, something real that they're going to be able to help their own future with. So it's got to stop. It's got to come to an end at some point, right? Crazy. So good words there, Outcast. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I think that's it. I'm looking for the gold pills the gold pills and the rumble rants and all that stuff. I am going to release a scratching right now over on pill.net. So if you guys want to play with that, please do. And looking for rumble rants if we have any. And I don't see any rumble rants, but I know what you guys are talking about. I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. Right. So it looks like everybody's still having a good time over there. Let me see. Everything's clear on my end, Outcast. So I'm going to get our intro outro going, and we're going to talk to you guys again next week. We're probably going to try to put together a reboot this week, Thursday, Outcast. We got to get that done. So we can add another one for the people. All right. So, hey, you guys, thank you guys so much. Don't forget to pray about those people. All right. Steph Mee, her son is Owen. Do some praying for them.
Owen.
Okay. Owen.
Okay.
Hamhock, yes, thank you. Have a good night. Great show. Thank you. Well, listen, it's been good having all you guys with us tonight. So it's been a really fun time. Thanks again to Chris Ann Hall. Outcast, we learned a lot tonight again, every time she's on. So we're going to get with JC tomorrow and give him all kinds of stuff, and we'll call him that name, that pusillanimous or whatever that thing is. That's a good word. We got to get that into our vernacular is what I'm saying.
You know, if you don't mind just for a second, I got to comment on that real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember I was reading some Scottish history book, and I'm trying to remember the name of the general. It doesn't matter, but there was a, a famous Scottish general, and he made this comment. It was in this history book, and it just stood out to me. He said, the enemy was so terrified of us that they dare not move more than pussies. And I was like, it dawned on me. I was like, that's where that term comes from when you call somebody a pussy. It's a reference to pussycats. He was saying the enemy was so afraid that like kitty cat, like cats being, you know, by a loud noise, they were frozen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think these things get lost over time in history, but
yeah.
And it was a saying referencing, you know, how a cat would be afraid to move in a scary situation. Right. I thought that was pretty funny, you know?
Yeah. And see, it's that the history of these words, you know what I mean?
Music. It's called entomology, right?
Or entomology. Kind of, yeah. Like that. That's awesome. That is crazy.
Pusillanimous.
Pusillanimous. Yeah. Somebody over here said it too. So I don't know. Listen, I'm going to try to use that word in my everyday speak. All right. I'm going to start first with Jay-Z because I know he likes it. He's funny with that. All right. So yeah, again, if you guys want to go over there and, you know, consider being a sponsor of the show, please do that. If the situation works for you, if not, that's just share the show. Tell your friends about us. All right. Read the description of tonight's show. That's where you're going to find out everything that you need, you know, the notes and the relevant information, the descriptions of all the stuff. You can find us on Truth Social, Instagram, Gab, Rumble, Twitter, Telegram, all that stuff, you guys. Listen.
Music lover dropping some clarity down here.
What's she saying?
Entomology is the study of words. Wait.
Entomology is the study of bugs.
Entomology is the study of bugs.
Yes. All right.
Wow, that's
easy.
Very
yep.
Similar spelling.
Be careful easy what you say. Be careful how you say it. It's awesome.
Funny.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks for listening to the show. I'm Jesse James. Hey, we're here live every Monday night. Don't forget it. All right? We're always here every Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm Jesse James. He's Outcast. And as you guys go through the week, remember to be bold. Cast off the blindfold. Strap yourself with the armor of God. Help unshackle the minds of your loved ones and your friends, all right? Be bold, be courageous, stay alert, and don't fall for the government media complex propaganda that's coming at you at every level of your life. And don't be threatened by the mainstream media fear campaigns, all right? You got to rescue those in darkness around you. Don't comply with the unjust laws, mandates, or regulations. And listen, trust your gut, because that's God talking to you always. We love you guys. Stay dangerous, my patriot friends. Stay dangerous.
Amen, brother.
Thank you. The word smart, right? Remember when smart came along? Smart car, smart mm-hmm. phone, smart meter, smart watch, smart everything. People, you yep. know, I knew right away when I first heard it, it was, you know, S-M-A-R-T. People just think it's smart, like intelligent. It's not, okay? SMART, what it stands for, it's an acronym. Self-Monitoring Analysis and Reporting Technology. SMART.
I had no idea.
I'm going to repeat that again. Self-Monitoring Analysis and Reporting Technology. Okay?
Wow.
What this